I'm excited about the Lord coming back. The only reason I don't want Him to come any more quickly than He is because I want to see as many people ready for heaven as possible. I do believe, and the Scripture bears it out, that it is not willing that He is not willing that any perish, but everybody would come to repentance. Everybody will not come to repentance. That's the sad truth, but it is the will of God that everybody does come to repentance. And so with that in mind, I want to preach to you this morning. Continuing on the series, I love my church. I want to preach to you. I love my church because my church loves the new birth message. There is no other message given by God to man that's going to get us to heaven than this new birth message about being born again and ready for heaven. I want to preach to you today from John chapter 3 and verse number 7. John chapter 3 and verse 7. We pray in just a moment over the word here. Please pray the Lord to bless our bishop. He's preaching down in southern Ohio in some undisclosed city. I'm not sure which one or which ones. But please pray the Lord would bless him and use him there and minister through him what the Lord has laid on his heart for the church there in that southern Ohio city. John chapter 3, verse number 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know you're a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs and miracles you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say to you, except a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus saith unto him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say to you, except a man is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. For that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again." I'm thankful that the church preaches the new birth message. I'm thankful for our church. Let's pray and ask the Lord to bless our service here and also in southern Ohio, that God will bless our bishop. God, I thank you for what you have laid on my heart for this Sunday. You knew exactly who would be here on this Sunday morning and exactly what they would need to hear. I pray every one of us before we leave would be ready for heaven. Much more so than anything else on this earth. Help all of us, O Lord, to be ready for the day when you call us home and you come back for your church. God, I pray, bless our bishop. Use him today in southern Ohio to minister what you've laid on his heart. And bless the church there, the congregation there, what they need. Lord, I pray, speak through our bishop what you've laid on his heart and that he can communicate and preach that to them. I pray that your will would be done today. In Jesus' name, amen. Before you're seated, turn to somebody and just tell them, you must be born again. You must be born again. And you may be seated. The story I'm going to tell you began in the spring of 2013. Started with a lady by the name of Alexandra. Alexandra works in the elite office of the Secretary General of the United Nations in Manhattan, New York. And she was diagnosed with a terminal disease. And so she called her church. Her church is in Detroit, Michigan. I'm sorry to hear that. Had to go up there, but nevertheless, I'm an Ohio State fan. Yes, indeed, yes. So she called her church. The church prayed for her and believed God. And just like we did here today, believed God, prayed for her, and the Lord healed her of this terminal disease. She went back to work at the UN, and she started to testify to them there what Jesus had done for her. She called her pastor, Pastor Art Wilson of Detroit, and she told him, "Pastor, I'm down here, and I'm sharing my testimony, and I'm winning souls, and I'm telling people about Jesus." And her pastor said, "Oh, that's wonderful. That's good news. Where are you?" She said, "I'm down here at the United Nations at work. I'm telling people in the UN about Jesus." And the pastor nervously asked her, "Are you allowed to do that? Are you supposed to do that?" And she told her pastor, she said, "Pastor, I've got to tell them what God has done. We're in the end time." And so he told her, "All right, well, you let them know that I'm coming And when I get there, I'm going to answer their questions, because after she had been healed of this terminal disease, they started having questions for her, and they started having concerns for her and about her. And so he said he went to prayer, and the Lord spoke to him and said, if you go and tell them about me, I will show them my power. So he said, I'm coming, and I'm going to explain everything when we get there. So he and his wife traveled to the UN. When they got there, he expected maybe three or four people in a small cramped room in the backside of the building just coming together, and maybe he was going to have a one-on-three or possibly one-on-four if it was a good day Bible study. And he opened up the door, and he was amazed. And he said when he opened the doors, people flooded into that room, not just people who were just working there in the UN making minimum wage, but there were UN ambassadors, and there were delegates, and there were staffers, there were atheists, agnostics, Buddhists, Hindus, Muslims, people from everywhere, people from every faith came to hear a Jesus name preacher tell them about the power of Jesus name. So they gathered in that room, and Brother Wilson took the x-rays of her disease and threw it on one x-ray and said, you see here on this x-ray, she's been diagnosed, and you know her very well, she had the disease, but we prayed for her, and you can see on this x-ray, that disease is no longer there. She's been healed. It's gone. And he unashamedly told them, only Jesus can work a miracle like this one. He got to the altar call and he said, I'm just gonna go and just dive into the deep end. He said, you know her sickness and you know she was healed, and that was only by the name of Jesus. If you, Muslims, Buddhists, Hindus, all faith, if you want an experience like that with Jesus, where Jesus touches your life and heart, would you just raise your hand? And he said, hands went up all over the room. People from all faiths and all walks, hands went up all over the room. And people started to call out to God. And God showed up. And a UN interfaith chapel turned into a Jesus name, Holy Ghost filled apostolic church. But that's not the end. It was just the beginning. Brother Wilson and his team were having church in the chapel, and then they had church in the conference room and Bible studies here and there, and they're having church on the 27th floor, and then wherever they could find a place that was open, nobody was meeting in there, they were just whisked from one room to another, just anywhere where they could find a place. And even when they couldn't be there in New York, they would have services through Skype. Here are some photos of the work that God is doing there in the UN. This is a Bible study, Brother Wilson, this gentleman right here, the pastor, is teaching to people from all over the world and all walks of faith. Next photo, please. Here's a photo of Brother Bernard, our general superintendent for the UPC, teaching people in the UN a Bible study. Next photo. This is a service where they're having in the chapel where people from the UN all over the world are being touched by God and moved on by the presence and the power of God. Next photo. And that's what happened in the UN after somebody responded to the touch of God and the power of the Holy Ghost. Last photo. And there's another group of people who were baptized in Jesus' name after they heard the gospel and what the Lord was doing. As of July of this year, 33 people have been baptized in Jesus' name at the United Nations. Since the spring of 2013, God has worked one notable, confirmed by medical records, one notable and medically confirmed miracle after another for people at the United Nations. They're hungry. They're searching for God. Many of them have tried other religions with no answers. But only Jesus could satisfy the soul. But one of the greatest challenges for him was having a place to meet consistently with people who are hungry for the gospel. Many of them come from Muslim countries, and many of them come from countries of other faiths, where if the people in their country whom they represent knew that they were even curious about Christianity, they could be killed for even asking about it, much less converting to Christianity. But these people cannot come secretly after hours when nobody's around, because there's no place for them to meet secretly after hours. Brother Wilson does not have a set place, no office space at the UN. So he applied for office space, permanent office space at the UN. He told us this past general conference, there's a mile-long list waiting for office space, longer than lines for the iPhone 7. It was just people, higher-ups, want office space. The rich and the famous want office space. The powerful and the political want office space, and nobody can get it because the list is just too long. But Brother Wilson prayed, and 3 weeks after he applied, he got a call that he has office space in a conference room in the UN to conduct Bible studies 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for anybody, day or night. And of all the miracles that God has already worked, one of the most notable miracles God has worked there at the United Nations was for, Brother Wilson called him His Excellency. As far as I know, the only one named that is the Secretary General of the UN. Is that correct? Is anybody more knowledgeable on that than I am? All right, let's just go with it. somebody very high up in the UN, possibly the Secretary General. His wife has stage 4 cancer. And he talked to Brother Wilson and said, we need you to pray because my wife has been diagnosed with cancer. Then he got a call later from somebody calling for His Excellency and said, we want you to meet in some room, some building, somewhere. He said they got there, a car picked him up, took them up by private elevator to this room where they sat down, and soon His Excellency and his wife came into the room. He walks into the room, he slams his hand down on the table, and he said, I told you my wife had cancer. I ask you to pray to your God, and your Jesus healed my wife of cancer. I want to know more about Him. God is doing a work. We're going to see all the way around the world, but I believe He's doing a work right now in that measure because He's getting ready to come back. And I'll share more about that tonight, about the coming of the Lord. But those ambassadors, those delegates, they're like a 21st century version of Nicodemus. We are seeing the story of John chapter 3 we see in the Bible. We're seeing it played out right now in our day on the streets of New York City. Nicodemus was a religious leader among the Jews. He studied the Word of God. He made his living studying and teaching the Word of God. Nicodemus knew what he knew, and he could not figure out, though, just who exactly is this Jesus. He's working miracles and wonders, but he could only do that if God is with him. He'd read the Nazareth Gazette, carpenter turns water to wine at a wedding. How in the world could a mere man turn water into wine at a wedding? So he requested an audience with Jesus, but he couldn't do it during the daylight hours, lest anybody from the Pharisees see Nicodemus curious and talking to Jesus about his faith. And so he worked a meeting where he could meet with Jesus at night. Nobody else was around, and maybe he would have revealed to him how he turned the water into wine, or maybe he would even work a wonder for Nicodemus. Nicodemus knew the Word of God, and he knew that the most appropriate way to approach God is to praise Him. So he came to Jesus, and he has this one-on-one with the Lord, and it's just these two men by themselves, Jesus and Nicodemus. One man has studied the Word, and the other one is the Word. And right on cue, Nicodemus, when he sees Jesus rehearse his speech, and he just rips off his rehearsed speech, he says, Rabbi, we know you're a teacher come from God. Nobody can do the miracles you're doing unless God is with him. I did it. Said it without a stutter. Got it. Perfect. Surely Jesus is just going to pat me on the shoulder and say, well, Nicodemus, it's mighty nice of you to say that. Can I call you Nick? How about we just go get some frozen yogurt? But it didn't happen that night. Through the light of a dimly lit torch, Nicodemus could see there's an urgency in Jesus' eyes, and here there was an urgency in his voice. Time was running out. Nicodemus didn't know it, but Jesus was racing redemption. Soon he would carry a rugged cross up a rugged hill and lay down his life for Nicodemus and billions of other people. And the only thing that would matter on that day was what Jesus would tell Nicodemus on this day. So Jesus rocked a religious leader back on his heels when he looked at him and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Where'd that come from? Nicodemus just wanted to talk to him about some wonders and how he worked water into wine. And Jesus is talking to Nicodemus about eternity. And Jesus made it very clear to Nicodemus then and to us now, the most important thing we'll ever do on this earth has nothing to do with this earth. It has everything to do with being ready for heaven. It was not the message Nicodemus expected, but it was the message Nicodemus needed. I'm so glad for all of our guests who are here this morning. If you're a guest and you came to worship God with us today, we're so happy to have you here. Welcome home. We're so happy to have you. I hope you've enjoyed the music. I hope you've enjoyed the worship service. I hope somebody was at the door to greet you when you came in. I hope you feel welcome here. I hope you believe the hospitality is second to none. And I hope you'll join us in the hospitality room after service. We can give you a gift, a token of our thanks. I hope you love the color of the carpet. I hope you feel the AC is at the right temperature. But hear me today. If the music is too loud and nobody was there to greet you and you don't like gifts and you think the carpet should be blue and the temperature set to 60, none of that matters. As long as you're born again. My prayer for you is that you love being here. But most important, my prayer for you is that your soul is right with God and ready for heaven, because Jesus is coming back very soon. And the only thing that will matter on that day is that we got right with God on this day. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. I love my church because my church preaches the new birth message. People come to this church because they come to be born again, not to be entertained, not to be impressed, but they come to be born again. People come and their lives are changed. Jesus still makes old things new right here in this church. Men and women, children and students of all ages and all walks of life can still come and be born again in this church. I love my church because this is a place where we get right with God and ready for heaven. I thank God for a church that believes in the new birth message and preaches it. If anybody was already ready for heaven, it was Nicodemus. He did everything right. He gave his life to the Word of God, and history pens him in as one of the richest rulers in Jerusalem. He had worked his way up the corporate ladder and as a teacher of the Jews, a ruler of the Jews. He was one of the Pharisees. He crossed every T. He dotted every I. And just for extra credit, he was a direct descendant of the Old Testament patriarch Abraham. If you just glance at Nicodemus, you look at him quickly and say, he's right with God. But a quick conversation with Jesus reveals he is not. Regardless of his Jewish heritage or his good deeds or his knowledge of the Scripture, Nicodemus was born a sinner and he needed to be born again. We've been studying this on Wednesday nights. Everybody is born a sinner. It doesn't matter if you cut your teeth chewing on wooden pews and your first word was revival. Every one of us was a sinner. And it doesn't matter if you've been in and out of prison on a first name basis with a judge. Every one of us is a sinner and needs to be born again. Thanks be unto God. We have the opportunity and the privilege and the way to be born again. We don't have to stay a sinner. We can have a fresh start and a fresh future. So that night changed Nicodemus' life. He could not shake an eternal question Jesus had given him about being born again. He walked away from that meeting with Jesus asking himself, wondering, have I been born again? That question haunted him from that day forward. I'm a good man, but have I been born again? I'm a religious man, but have I been born again? I never miss a service, but have I been born again? When he laid his head on his pillow at night, he would wonder, have I been born again? When he would wake up in the morning, he would wonder, have I been born again? I pray all of us would answer the most important question of our lives and get it right. Have I been born again? When you go home this afternoon, I hope you think about it. Have I been born again? When you wake up in the morning, if the Lord tarries, I want you to ask yourself, have I been born again? When you're shopping for mayonnaise, have I been born again? While you're solving quadratic equations, have I been born again? Whether you're at work, at school, at the game, at the mall, wherever you are, every minute of every day, if it takes that much, I pray every one of us can answer the question and answer it right. Have I been born again? If you can answer every other question right, you can get every question in this life right. Go to the right college, marry the right guy or girl, drive the right car, live in the right house, pursue the right career, invest in the right funds, and make the right amount of money, and retire with the right amount of security. But if you can't answer yes to the born again question, none of that is going to matter when we stand before Almighty God. Get every other question right on the life's exam, and I hope you do. But if you don't get any of those right, get this one right. Be born again and ready for heaven and right with God. Let's give thanks to the Lord that He gives us an opportunity to be right with Him. Jesus was teaching Nicodemus, but Nicodemus did not understand. This doesn't make any sense, Lord. I'm 5'7", 40 years old, 200 and none of anybody's business pounds. I can't be born again. No way I can or even would want to go back, enter my mother's womb and be born again. Jesus, that doesn't make any sense. You're making heaven way too hard. Jesus says, no, Nicodemus, you don't understand. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Nicodemus, you're talking about spiritual things. You think I'm talking delivery rooms and doctors. No, I'm talking to you about spiritual things. This is my plan for your soul. You've got to be born again. You've got to be born of water. And you've got to be born of the Spirit. Some very well-intentioned people, well-intentioned scholars have tried to interpret this passage by saying being born of water refers to our natural birth, but Nicodemus was already born. And so is everybody who will read John chapter 3, verse 5. So Jesus would not tell Nicodemus, Nicodemus, you need to go back and be born. Nicodemus was already born. He already checked that one off the list. Let's go on. So Jesus was not speaking about natural birth when he spoke about being born of water. When you let Scripture interpret Scripture, you discover every time someone was born again in the Bible, they were baptized in water in the name of Jesus, and they were filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. They were born of water, and they were born of the Spirit every time. Every time. You can comb the New Testament. You can search the Scriptures, and you'll find when a holy God reached for unholy people and they realized they were sinners, they asked the question, what do I do? How do I get right with God? How do I make sure my soul is ready for heaven? And the answer comes screaming back from Acts 2, Acts 8, Acts 10, Acts 19, all the way through the Scriptures. Be born again, born of water, born of the Spirit. You need to be baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. They're Siamese twins. They go together. That spiritual birth cannot be separated. When the church was first born in Acts chapter 2, Peter preached it. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, born of water and born of Spirit. In Acts chapter 8, during the Samaritan revival, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, and they were filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. In Acts chapter 10, you remember Cornelius. He's a good man, devout believer, prayed often, even gave in the offering. But he wasn't right with God yet because he had not been born again, because being good enough was not good enough. Just believing there was a God was not enough. And so Cornelius needed to be born again. And so in Acts chapter 10, Peter came and preached to Cornelius. And while Peter was preaching to Cornelius, the Holy Ghost fell on Cornelius' house, and they received the gift of the Holy Ghost. They began to speak in other tongues as God gave them the ability. And then Peter took them out right away and baptized them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 19, the Apostle Paul met son of John the Baptist's disciples. They had already been baptized by John unto repentance. But Paul preached to them about Jesus. And as soon as he did, they said, we got to get baptized. So Paul baptized them in Jesus' name and then prayed for them, and they received the gift of the Holy Ghost, evidenced by speaking with other tongues. It's all through the New Testament. Born of water, baptism. Born of Spirit, receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's the way we get right with God and we get ready for heaven. Thank God for new birth. Thank God for the born again message. Thank God for the born again experience, whereby we can get right with God and ready for heaven. If you've never repented of your sins, or it's been a long time and you still limp around under the crushing weight of your past, sitting superbly on your own shoulders, I've got good news for you. You can lay all of that down at His feet and ask God to forgive you, and God will forgive you of your past. It doesn't matter how much or how little you have done, God will forgive you when you ask Him. That's called repentance. And God forgives us of our past and gives us a brand new future. Repentance is also a return from our sin. If there are things you used to do, things you used to say, places you used to go that you know is against the Word of God, then you just stop doing, saying, going, because you know that you want to please God and live for God. All of us will stumble and fall from time to time, but thank God there's mercy to catch us if and when we do fall. Thank God for repentance. Repentance is beautiful. We don't stress repentance enough. We try to rush through repentance to get quickly to baptism. But I would tell you, repentance is beautiful, and repentance cannot be rushed. And repentance should not be rushed. Every one of us needs to come to a place. Jesus said it twice in Luke 13. Except if you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Every one of us needs to come to a place where we ask God, God, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me of my sins. And God will forgive you. That's repentance, and thank God for it. And then once we have repented, we come to the place where we're born of water. The Scripture tells us that He covers our sin in His own blood. He washes our sin away. He remits our sin, erases our sin. Romans 6 tells us we are buried with Him by baptism, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk with newness of life. When we're baptized, we identify with Jesus' burial. We bury the sinful habits and lifestyle in a watery grave of baptism. And when we come up out of the water, we come up a new person. Our name may be the same, our social security number may be the same, but our status with God is different. We have been forgiven, our sins have been remitted, His name has been applied, the blood of Jesus has been applied. Hallelujah! Thank God for the privilege to be born of water, baptized in Jesus' name. There are some well-intentioned people who believe baptism is just an outward sign of an inward work, just a symbol to show what God is doing on the inside, but the Bible does not testify to that. The Bible teaches that baptism is not just nice. It's absolutely necessary because it's the only agent whereby God remits our sin and applies His name to our lives and gets us right with Him. And then you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Here's being born of the Spirit. If you thought repentance and baptism were special, the way it washes away our sin and forgives our sin, the Holy Ghost is so awesome. The way God forgives us and washes away our sin is wonderful, but just wait until you are filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. If you've ever been filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, would you just testify to somebody right now by raising your hand and thanking God that He gave you this gift of the Holy Ghost? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you for the gift of the Holy Ghost. Thank you today, God, for this newborn, born-again experience. There's no greater feeling or no greater infilling in all the world like being filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. By the grace of God, I have never been on drugs. I've never drunk. I've never smoked. By the grace of God, He's kept me from those things. But I've heard testimony after testimony after testimony of people who have dabbed in those things and even have dove into those things feet first. And they come back out of that and they say, I thought that was the highest high I could ever find until the day I got the gift of the Holy Ghost. And after they got the Holy Ghost, there was no regret. There was no searing their conscience. There was no sin. There was no conviction. Rather, just joy and peace that only God can give and nobody can take it away from the church. I'm thankful for the gift of the Holy Ghost. Most of us in this room have already been baptized in Jesus' name, and I thank God for that. You've been born of water. And many of you have already received the gift of the Holy Ghost, evidenced by speaking with other tongues, just like they did in the Bible, where you prayed or praised God in an unknown language. You did not learn how to speak, but they did that in the Bible, and we still do it today. And I thank God. It's wonderful. But the Holy Ghost is something we don't just receive one time 25, 35, 40 years, 50 years ago. But the Holy Ghost is a daily experience. It's a daily opportunity to draw close to God, to have Him fill us, and to have us draw closer to Him. If you've not been refilled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, I believe this morning is a great opportunity for you to come to an altar and lift your hands and say, God, it's been a long time, but I'm ready. I want to be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost once again. And the Scripture tells us that the Holy Ghost is not just something that we have here on this earth to make our life better, although it is. But the Holy Ghost is what will quicken our mortal body. So when Jesus does come back, and Sister Monkey's coming soon, when He does come back, the only thing that will get us from here to heaven will be the gift of the Holy Ghost inside of us. The Bible says that the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. The Spirit of Him that raised up Christ from the dead will quicken your mortal body by His Spirit that dwells in you. And our feet are going to leave the ground, and we're going to be caught up with the Lord to meet Him in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Oh, what a glorious hope and promise we have because of the gift of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Let's stand together. Oh, glory to God. If you've been born again, if you've been born of water, you've been born of the Spirit, why don't you just thank God together? Let this be a testimony. Let it be an opportunity to say, thank you, Lord, for touching my life. Thank you, God, for changing my life. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be born again. Thank you, God, for the opportunity we have to repent of our sins, to be baptized in water and filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. We praise you today, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. I bless your name, O Lord. I praise your name, O Lord. I lift you up, O God. Hallelujah. We give praise to you today for this born-again experience. We give thanks to you today, Lord, for helping us, for saving us, for redeeming us. God, I thank you today for delivering us, for setting us free, for washing our sins away. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I bless your name, O Lord. I bless your name. I bless your name. I bless your name. I worship you, Jesus. I lift you up, O Lord, for you are wonderful. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I bless your name. I praise your name. I worship you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. I praise you today. I love you and lift you up today, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you look around and you're wondering, could I ever have that kind of experience? LJ, you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know my past. You don't know my present. I surely don't know your future. You have no idea the things I've done in my life, the regrets I have, but cannot erase. You have no idea my past that I wish I could change, but can't. I don't know that I'll ever have that kind of experience. I can't tell you how many people have come to me to tell me, you don't know. God would never forgive me for the things I've done. God would never set me free, never deliver me. You don't know my past. And you're absolutely right, I don't. But I tell you this on the authority of the Word of God. God knows your past, and He loves you enough to send me to this pulpit today to tell you, if you will ask Him to forgive you, He will forgive you of your past. What an awesome God we serve. There are people in the sanctuary this morning. There are people watching online. You still need to repent of your sins. There are people here today, you know you're in a life of sin and you need to ask God to forgive you. The very first step is that faith that says, if I ask Him, He will forgive me. God wants to forgive everybody. It's His will that everybody would repent. So I'm asking all of us right now where you're standing before I open up this altar. I'm asking you where you're standing, every one of us, every one of us. I'm asking you to open up your mouth, close your eyes and start to repent. Talk to God. Say, God, there are things in my life that I wish I could change, but I cannot. Things in my past, I'm so sorry for it. I've done things, God. I've said things. I've gone places. I've hurt people. There are things I've done, Lord, that I'm so sorry. I wish I could change. I can't. I'm asking you to forgive me. God, I know only you can satisfy and only you can wash away my sin. Would you pray that prayer today? Just lift up your voice right now and just repent. God, I'm so sorry. God, there are things in my life I'm so sorry for. But I hold you to your word and I believe you at your word that if we confess our sins to you, you're faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all of our sin. Hallelujah. Thank you today, God. I feel there's mercy in this house. I can feel it in the Holy Ghost. There's mercy in this place. As repentance goes up, mercy is going to fall down and blanket this sanctuary today. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for mercy. Thank you, Jesus, for mercy. Thank you, God, for mercy. Let's not rush through this right now. Let's just take a moment. God, there are things at home that I will change. By the grace of God, I will change. I need your Spirit, Lord. I can't be holy without the Holy Spirit in my life. I need your Spirit today, God. Help us. Lord Jesus, help us. I thank you today, God.